share this with you too before I get into my message. Some of y'all know Darlene Seidel. Remember Darlene? Okay. Darlene's father passed away and they had the funeral yesterday. So I went to the funeral home, got to see Darlene and the family. But this past week, I looked up the obituary online to make sure I had the time right to go to the funeral home. And I discovered as I looked that a dear gentleman that had impacted me greatly for Christ had passed away also. His name's John Hall. And some of you might know John. I don't know. But John, when I was in high school, when I was a senior in high school, John started a Bible study. He was a member at First Baptist, but he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. This was during the charismatic renewal, charismatic movement. And he had gotten, somebody had given him a book called Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers. I don't know if anybody ever read that book years ago. But he read that book and he got delivered from alcoholism and he got saved and he got on fire for the Lord. And he started and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he started a Bible study for the high school kids, just some high school kids, that anybody that wanted to come. And it met in a home. And so my good friend in high school, Wade Horton, invited me to the Bible. He went the first week or first couple of weeks. And I walked into homeroom one day and Wade had this big grin on his face and just glowing. I said, "What's going on with you?" And he said, "I went to this Bible study last night and it was fantastic." Well, I was raised in church, but I never had a Bible study affect me that way. So I went and I started hearing about the Holy Spirit and all of this. And John was leading it. John was leading the Bible study. And for the next 2 or 3 years, we met every week. And John would teach us to sing songs straight from the Bible. Everybody remember the scripture choruses? If you came out of the charismatic renewal, we would sing the songs we sang were right out of the Bible. We'd just sit there with our Bibles. We'd be sitting in a circle on the floor, cross-legged, and somebody would say, Psalm 48, and we'd start, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." And we'd sing Psalm 63. "I will lift up my hands in your name." There were these teenage, you know, high school kids. And then by the time it ended, I was first couple years in college, but sitting around just singing the scripture. And John taught us to do that and discipled us in so many ways. But he passed away this past Monday. But I would not be doing what I'm doing today if it had not been for John starting that Bible study. That was the turning point in my life. And I just wanted to give honor to him this morning. Praise God. All right, back to the scripture. Psalm 37. And I'm calling this message today, A Divine Strategy for Victory. A Divine Strategy for Victory. Psalm 37, verse 1. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." We're going to go through Psalm 37, the whole chapter this morning, but I want to stop after every few verses and comment. So he tells us, first of all, what we're not to do. What we're not to do. First of all, we are not to fret or to be envious. No matter what's going on, no matter if, you know, what's going on in our nation, no matter if you think things didn't go the way you wanted them to go with the election or whatever, we are not to fret or to be envious. Amen? He said, if wrong has been done, if there is corruption in the government, if there's corruption in the deep state, which I personally believe there is, but this is not about that today. If there is, he says, the workers of iniquity shall soon be cut down. God can take care of this. Amen. So, verse 3. So he begins to tell us what we are to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So it gives us some things to do in these verses. So let's look at that. First of all, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Instead of getting upset and mad and angry and wanting to fight somebody, look at some good you can do. Hello? Paul told us in Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. With good. Amen. And a good example of this is the abortion issue. You know, thank God President Trump was a very probably the most pro-life president we've ever had. And he signed a lot of executive orders limiting abortion. And that may be changed now with this administration. So what are we going to do? Well, we can just get mad about it, or we can do good. Well, how can we do good? Well, let's support our local crisis pregnancy centers. We've got one right here in Cumming that's doing a great work. Whispering Hope, Cumming Women's Center. Support them with your finances. Support them with your prayers. Support them by volunteering. Come on. That's a way to overcome evil with good. Amen. Hallelujah. Many other things that the Lord could lead you to do in that regard. And then the second thing he says is this. He says, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. Hallelujah. Don't abandon the land. Dwell in it. You know, and people talking about secession. Well, I just think we're going to break off, you know, start another country. No, this is our land. We're one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're going to dwell in this land. This is our land. Amen. Don't abandon it. In the Old Testament, during a time of famine, Isaac was instructed by God to stay put. Everybody else was leaving. Everybody else was going down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And Isaac thought, well, should I do that? God spoke to him and said, no, you dwell in this land. Stay right where you are. Dwell in this land and I'll be with you and I'll bless you. The Bible says Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year. Remember? What did he reap? 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Amen. Praise God. So dwell in the land. Amen. Here's another, don't abandon the land. Here's another scripture that fits in with this. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse number 4. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, what? What are we supposed to do? Do not leave your post. For conciliation pacifies great offenses. Now, I believe our prayers can help modify this and limit this and restrain this. But even if the Biden administration becomes hostile toward Christianity, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, what are we to do? Again, don't leave your post. Don't leave your post. Amen. And he says, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. God's word translation there of that last part of that verse says, if you remain calm, you can make up for serious offenses. Praise God. It is a serious offense to promote abortion, for our nation to do that and for our government to do that. But if we'll remain calm, if we'll pray, if we'll stay on our post, we can make up for great offenses. Folks, we've not lost our nation. I want to reassure you. God's bigger than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And then the next thing he says here in this verse is, he says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed, back in Psalm 37:3, and feed on his faithfulness. Put verse 3 of Psalm 37 back up there, Greg. There we go. See that last part? Feed on his faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to feed on his faithfulness. That's why you might ought to turn off the news. That's why you might ought to turn off. You know, I'm not just talking about the mainstream media that we know is slanted. I'm talking about conservative media too, that's going to try to get you riled up. It's going to try to get you upset. It's going to try to get you angry. Amen. It's going to try to get, honestly, get you depressed. Amen. Well, what should we be feeding on? His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. God is ever faithful to His people. I said, God is ever faithful to His people. I want to encourage you and me to focus on, to trust in, and to have confidence in the faithfulness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. In Lamentations 3 and verse 21, this is written by Jeremiah. Notice it's the book of what? You know what a lamentation is? Crying. A lamentation is, oh man, things are so bad. That's what a lament, and he wrote a whole book of them. But in the middle of it, he said this, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies," verse 22, "we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." Hallelujah. God is ever faithful. Reed didn't know what I was preaching on this morning, but he chose the perfect song. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Amen. Great is Your faithfulness. Verse 24, "The Lord is my portion." Isn't He? Is the Lord your portion? Amen. Glory to God. Donald Trump's not my portion. I loved him. I prayed for him. I thought he did a great job. But he's not my portion. The Lord is my portion. Come on. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Excuse me. Therefore, I hope in Him. My hope is in Him. Is yours? Amen. And then he says this in verse number 4. He says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." Delight yourself also in the Lord. Again, God's Word says it this way. Be happy with the Lord. Well, Pastor, I just can't be happy. This has gone wrong and this is going on and they're getting away with this and they're doing that. Be happy with the Lord. You got the Lord. Get your focus back on Him. Amen. Be happy with the Lord. I love the way the Message reads. The Message Bible says it this way. Keep company. Keep company with God. Get in on the best. Woo! Isn't that good? Keep company with God. Fellowship with Him. And that's, I'm telling you, I've told people in our prayer group, anytime I get in the Spirit, I sense victory. I sense a great year ahead. Amen. Keeping company with God, you'll get in on the best. Amen. Glory to God. And what else will He do? He said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you," there we go back to the New King James of verse 4, Grayson. You're going to have to follow me back and forth a little bit here this morning. "He will delight yourself also in the Lord, and what will He do? He shall give you the desires of your heart." He'll give you the desires of your heart. Praise God. And then we go to the next verse. Verse number 5 of Psalm 37, he says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him." Notice this, "and He shall bring it to pass." Glory to God. You can't bring it to pass. Do what you know to do. Do your part. But trust God, whether we're talking about the government or whether we're talking about a personal issue with you, it applies across the board here. Amen? It applies across the board. Hallelujah. You can't bring, there are things that are too big for you to bring to pass. Amen? So what do? I commit that to God. I commit that to, that's what faith is anyway. Amen? Faith is acknowledging, God, I need Your help. God, this is too big for me, but I trust that You love me. I trust that You're for me. I trust that You hear me when I pray. I trust that You care about this situation and You're going to help me. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord And he, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, if I keep it, if I keep holding on to it, then God can't take it and do anything with it. But if I commit it to him, if I give it to him, then he can take it and he can fix it. Amen. Amen. He can bring it to pass, and he shall. Hallelujah. He then goes on in verse 6, it says, he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. The New English Translation reads it like this. He will vindicate, that's the New English, it says, he will vindicate you in broad daylight and publicly defend your just cause. If your cause is just, then God's going to make sure everybody knows about it. Amen. God will make it right, and God will make it known to all. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 7, we'll move down to verse 7 of Psalm 37. He says this, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning, folks. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So look at that. He says, rest in the Lord. So that's point number 6. Have I been giving you these points? Number 1 is trust in the Lord and do good. Number 2, dwell in the land, don't abandon it. Point number 3, feed on his faithfulness. Point number 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Point number 5, commit your way to the Lord. And now point number 6, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Trust that God has heard your prayer and he's working things out. Trust that God has heard your prayer and that he's working things out. Amen? He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He says in verse 7, do not fret. He says again in verse 8, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So in verse 1, he says, do not fret. In verse 6, he says, or 7, he says, do not fret. In verse 8, he says, do not fret. Why does he say, do not fret so many times? Because we need to hear it so many times. Amen. Do not fret. Amen. Hallelujah. Point to your neighbor and say, do not fret. Now, as Brother Hagin used to say, point to yourself and say, self, do not fret. You may need to do that 4 or 5 times a day. Amen. I'm talking about yourself. You know, we want to fix our neighbor, but let's work on us. Amen. All right. So he says, do not fret over and over because we need to hear it so much. Point number 7 then is this, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. Hallelujah. Cease from anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it and get it out of your system. Give it to God. Amen. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in faith. Stay in peace. If we move out of the Spirit, if we move out of faith, and if we move out of peace, we are in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. How can we do that? How can I really trust? How can I cease from anger? How can I not fret? How can I forsake wrath? Because of the following truth that he says in the next verses. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you'll look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's God's word. And God cannot lie. and God's word cannot fail. Come on. Amen. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. What is God doing about it? The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. You can't continue in evil and wicked. God has set eternal laws into operation and into motion. Amen. And you can't continue to violate the laws of God and get away with it if you're doing that. God's already set that into motion. He's already designed that into his system. Amen. Hallelujah. A little, verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 18, the Lord knows the day of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Look at this now, verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. I've preached on this thought, the evil day. The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians with the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand when? In the day of evil. In the day of evil. And then he says in Ephesians 5, he says we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. And here he talks about the evil time. There can be seasons and times where we face that can be classified as an evil time or an evil day. But what about the people of God? They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. What are you worried about? Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, if you set yourself against God, if you set yourself against His Word and make yourself an enemy of the Lord, He says, like the splendor of the meadows, they shall vanish away. Into smoke, they shall vanish away. Amen. Verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old. I used to just read that. Now I experience that. I have been young, and now I'm older. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And I can say it just like David said it. That's absolutely true. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. There it is again. Do good. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Hallelujah. Verse 34. We'll skip down to there. We're reading most all of Psalm 37, but you can go back and read the whole chapter. But we're catching most of the verses here. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. I mean, it just seems like this, no end to it. Yet, verse 36, he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. It says He's their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord is our strength in the time of trouble. I said the Lord is our strength in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. He, it says, the Lord shall help them. Glory to God. God's going to help you during this time, during this season. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. I mean, look at how God took care of His people. Look how God took care of you through 2020. Amen. Did He not? I said, did He not? Amen. Hallelujah. Here we are. We made it, didn't we? Glory to God. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. That's the key. That's our part. It's to trust in Him. Don't get caught up in fear. Don't get caught up in fretting. Don't get caught up in rehearsing and speaking the negative. Amen. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more passage of Scripture, and I understand, Mike, you're gonna come up this morning. Come on. Glory to God. Amen. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 1. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters. Now, the Thessalonian church faced great opposition and great persecution. If you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, when Paul came and brought the gospel there, the believers in Thessalonica, they were persecuted for their faith, and yet they stood strong, and they saw God work miracles, and they saw God work great things. And Paul said, the Word of God grows mightily in your life. And in 2 Thessalonians, he talks to them in 1 Thessalonians and 2, he's talking to them about the last days and about the coming of the Lord. And then he wraps up, he gets to the last part of his letter here, his second letter to the Thessalonians. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Now this is the way that we should be praying today. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly. Come on. That's what our focus should be. Huh? That's what our focus should be. We should pray that the Lord's message spread rapidly. That's what we're here for. I said that's what we're here for as the church, as believers. Amen? To do our part to see that the Lord's message, the gospel, the Word of God, will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes. Everything else is a distraction. Let's stay focused on the main thing. Amen. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Paul wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians, and he told them, when you receive this message that I brought to you, he said, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you who believe it. So he said, pray that it happen in other places, just like that. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. For not everybody is a believer. Paul faced a lot of opposition preaching the gospel. And some of that opposition, he just had to identify. He said, these are evil and wicked people that are opposing the gospel. These are evil and wicked people that are opposing the spread of the gospel. Amen. So Paul said, pray that we be rescued or delivered from wicked and evil people. The New King James says, pray that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. All right. Now, I believe we can pray that over our nation as well. I believe we can. Now, I, I don't know. I've never met President Biden. I've never met Vice President Harris. I believe, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, I believe they have some good intentions. They've been in politics a long time, and it's very easy when you've been in that and playing that game that you have to play to move up in politics. It's very easy for corruption to set in. But I believe they probably have some good intentions as well. And it's usually not an either or an all or nothing thing with anybody. Amen? Come on. So I don't believe their purpose is to destroy America. I don't believe that. But there are some forces that would want to influence them. That's why we need to pray for them. Amen? That they won't yield to those forces. And that's why we can pray for our nation. Lord, deliver our nation from unreasonable and wicked people. Amen? For not everybody is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Oh, thank God. There's another great promise. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. I'm confident that you are doing and you will continue to do what we walked through in Psalm 37 today, as well as the rest of the Word of God. We can't abandon our post. We got to keep acting on the Word, standing on the Word, proclaiming the Word, praying the Word. Hello? Amen? Continue to do the things that we've been commanded from God's Word. Praise God. So let's pray that way. Let's pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored. Let's pray that we'll be rescued and delivered from wicked and evil people personally in our lives and as believers and for our nation as well. Amen? Praise God. And know this promise, he says, the Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen us. He'll guard us from the evil one. And then Paul wraps it up with this. And this is his prayer for them. He said, I want you to pray these things for me. And then he says, I'm going to pray this for you. And it's a good prayer for each one of us to pray over ourselves. Verse 5, he says, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of what? The love of God. The love of God. Praise God. Are you willing to pray that prayer over your life with me? Lord, lead my heart into a full understanding and a full expression of the love of God. Hallelujah. And the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Hallelujah. That's two things that we ought to be praying over ourselves and over our fellow believers. Hallelujah. Love never fails. I said love never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, lead our hearts into a full understanding. And not just understanding it, but expressing. A full understanding and expression of the love of God. And the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Hallelujah. Those two things are what we need in this hour. Amen. Praise God. I want to pray for all of us and our online family included right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray this over myself. I pray this for all those that are joining us online. And I pray for my wonderful brothers and sisters here in person with me today at City on a Hill Church. Father, I pray that you would lead our hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God. And Lord, I thank you that we would live out that love. Hallelujah. That we would overcome evil with good. And that the love of God would shine so brightly in us and through us. Lord, that many will be attracted to that. That many will come to the light of your love shining through us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, direct our hearts into the patient endurance that comes from Christ, that will never quit, that will never get weary, that will never give up acting on your word, standing for the truth, standing for righteousness, that will never stop praying. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen, amen.